The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The folks over at SeatGeek, the best and easiest to use ticket platform out there.
Oh, well, that did not work. I guess I'm going to have to upload that too. We're off to a good start.
Hey, man. Hey.
Let's start the show.
He popped up. I was like, hey there.
Hello, everybody.
What up? What up? Oh. What's going on?
So Nate told me he recorded a SeatGeek ad, and I was like, oh, cool. That means I don't have to do the whole thing at the beginning of the episodes now. And so I was like, okay, I'll play it, and then I'll play our video. And as I was switching to our video, you're like, just cut off Nate's. So I was like, oh, whoops.
we'll get all that situated. You know what I mean? He did mention the great people at SeatGeek.
Yeah. So anyway, my name is Tim Daniel. His name is Ben Brown. And this is Late Night Reds here on the Riverfront, which is brought to you by our friends, as Nate Dotson tried to tell us earlier, SeatGeek. So, you know, if you want to go hang out next Sunday at Paycor Stadium, watch the Cincinnati Bengals go to 3-3 against the Seattle Seahawks. Say you want to go to see the Indiana Pacers play your favorite team because no Absolutely. One's a Pacers fan.
Hey, man, get it up for my Pacers. Let's go.
SeatGeek is your spot to do it. You go in there and you're a first-time user. Just use the code Riverfront, all one word, for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. It takes the confusion out of buying tickets. Ooh, it takes the easy out of buying tickets. No, that would be Vivid Seats.
yeah, you ain't lying about that. Jeez.
Good list. But SeatGeek makes it easy for you. Go there and use it if you haven't already. Tell them your friend. What is going on here today? We are having all the technical difficulties. It must be the offseason, Ben.
Man, I'll tell you what. You know, we're a week and a half into the offseason.
We're falling apart already.
Yeah, and it's already going downhill. we're off the rails. We're 4 minutes in. We're off the rails already.
Yeah. So the Bulls will absolutely lose to the Pacers four times this year. Yeah, yep. Probably four times. Absolutely. So how was your weekend, man? My college football weekend, not too good. My NFL weekend, pretty solid. You guys had a Thursday football game this week?
We did. So we played on Thursday. We played Scott High School. And which is nice because we were able to play on Thursday, be off Friday, Saturday, and today, and we'll come back in on Monday, which is nice. So it's almost like a bye before your bye because you never usually get 3 days off in the season. So it was nice. So we went out, played well, 149.7 on Thursday. And then we were able to take 3 days off, which is nice because, like I said, our bye doesn't come to the end of the year. It's actually the last week of the season. So to be able to get that three-day rest for our kids is huge. So, but it was good. It's going well.
I love that you were like, oh, we played well. We just won by 42 points, but we played all right.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things to clean up. You should have given like the Zach Taylor. Like, you know, we did what we had to do. There's plenty of opportunities left out there, and we have great opportunities to put it together next week against Seattle.
Yep, there you go. So yeah, I will repeat that. You know, we left some points on the board out there. You know, there's tons of stuff to clean up. You know, we're just striving to get better every day. We look forward to putting more pieces of those together next week against our alma mater, Boone County High School.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have to see if I can make it out to that one.
Come on out.
I will. But, you know, the Reds aren't playing right now, obviously, unfortunately. But you know who is basically the rest of the Major League Baseball. So want to kind of go through here. This obviously is not up to date because I couldn't find one up to date in time to do the show because the Bengals had a 4 o'clock kick today. Not a fan of those.
Ooh. Yeah, man, that's late. That's late.
Yeah, but, you know, to catch up on all this, Arizona is in L.A. You know, the only person not happy about that is Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, man. I catch bits and pieces of playoff baseball. Like I said, when the Reds go down, like when the Reds go out, I take a break from baseball because we pretty much follow the Reds 162 games. So, yeah. You know, when the playoffs hit and the Reds aren't in it, so it's like you kind of take a debrief from baseball. But boy, when they showed them clips of Clayton Kershaw, I was in shock. Like I was like, dude, he was just getting just blasted.
I had never seen an ERA say 162 before until I looked at the box score from the Dodgers game yesterday.
Yeah.
I've seen infinity, you know, where it's like INF.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen 162 before, so that was kind of wild. The Diamondbacks, man, look great. The Phillies beating the Braves 3-0.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you've got Minnesota is right now playing game two against the Astros. Kyle Farmer went deep.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And then the Rangers, my God, just putting it on the Orioles today.
Yeah.
Taking
Rangers care are playing. Yeah, Rangers are playing really well. The Orioles, this is their third straight loss because they lost their last season regular season game, and now they've lost two here in the playoffs, man. They have not looked good. And the Orioles, which – We thought actually going into it was one of the better teams in baseball. I mean, they were stacked with pitching, had a decent lineup, and the Rangers just kind of came in and kind of dismantled them the first two games.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like this, I mean, the Rangers lineup is really, really good.
Yeah,
young dudes too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. So I was on Locked On this week with Stephen Offenbaker, and I said that I said it was gonna be a. I was already off. I said a Braves-Rays World Series, and, of course, Tampa gets it taken to them by Texas, and now Texas is taking it to Baltimore, and they've got to go to Arlington now. And then, of course, Atlanta loses to Philly. So Robert's asking teams with byes not winning. So Milwaukee, where the hell was this when they were playing the Reds this year? They got every, like, bloop hit and every, like, bunt single and every – terribly way to score runs against the Reds all 14 times or whatever they played this year. Thanks a lot for that and really wish your luck had ran out sooner. Right. Jerks.
Exactly.
Miami, I think, was just kind of I'm not mad at them. I mean, they had a really good year. And
they did.
Yeah, I thought, you know, they ran into a better team. Dude, that I know Nate referenced this on the Riverfront on Friday. But that Bryson Stott grand slam, have you seen the clip going around where it's like no commentary? Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, just a cool-ass moment.
Yes, it is.
So freaking cool. Toronto, I think Toronto's going to be – we're going to be talking about them for a long time. I just think they're good. And they've got a bunch of young guys. And then the Tampa side, I don't know what to think about them because they're obviously a really good baseball team. They obviously have really good players. And I know the way that they operate is not something people are fans of. Mm-hmm. the jury's still out if you can win a World Series the way they operate. They've obviously been to two in the last 15 years, which is nice. It's more than we can say about our team. Right. It's also more than the Pirates can say about their team. But
absolutely.
But, you know, it's, I don't know what to think of it. So, yeah, I think Miami, I'm really worried about if Miami can make it back if I'm a Marlins fan, because now this news has come out that Alcantara is going to isn't going to pitch at all next year.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, being in Miami, Florida, you aren't like a major target for free agents. There's no one's like, man, I can't wait to go play for the Marlins, which
right.
Bro. Which I can live in Miami in the winter. Okay. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah. Like,
I mean, you would think that it would be a hot spot, but like it's weird. Like, you don't hear about big free agents wanting to go to Miami. Like, you know, it's kind of crazy.
I saw that they did this thing where they were honoring Miguel Cabrera this week on their socials, and you know, he did win a World Series there and stuff, but like, it's kind of like when Ohio State honors Joe Burrow. Like, yeah, he was there, but he made his name elsewhere. Like,
yeah, I know. And that's one of my favorite things where like, they're like, former Buckeye. I'm like, really? Like, we can't claim Joe Burrow, dude. Like, come on. Like that guy, granted, he is an Ohio kid and he did play. I mean, he was on the roster, but like, we can't claim him. Like, that's the one thing LSU did right. I mean, they went and got that guy, and he's theirs. And now he is an Ohio kid. I mean, he is from Ohio, went to high school and elementary school, whatever. But yeah, Ohio State loves to claim that guy. I'm like, we can't claim him. We can't claim that guy. Would like to.
Yeah. Michael says nobody wants to wear a baseball uniform in July in Miami. Maybe, but also they play indoors there.
They do.
So, you know, there's that.
They play indoors, and on top of that, Miami, to leave the stadium and be able to say I live in Miami is also a nice perk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at Tua Tagovailoa right now. He's enjoyed Miami quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. City says looking forward to GAP rocking like that next October. I agree. Yeah, I think it's been a fun playoffs, but it's your typical MLB playoffs where it's like the teams that you see on paper and you're like, there, that's the team. Never always finds a way to lose. Last year, the Mets won 104 games and were knocked out in the second round. Do we call this a second round? I guess we do.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, the one that gets me is Atlanta and Philadelphia. Like, Philadelphia is playing really good baseball right now, but I really thought that, like, when we were going into it, I was like, dude, the Braves to me, the Braves to me, I'm like, dude, they're untouchable. Like, that team is so good, and the Phillies have really solid. I mean, to beat Atlanta 3-0, like to shut them out, like I'm like, they kind of answered the bell on that one.
Did you see the catch interference call that's like everyone's kind of upset about?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I don't know, dude.
I'm the same way. Like I could see it going both ways.
You're right. Like I hate to say yeah it is, but then you're like I don't know. I can see it both. I can see both arguments, honestly. I really can. I can see both arguments. You know.
Brandon says the average Floridian is retired. They need to end games before dark to draw an audience. Okay, that's a good point.
That is a very good point.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
I like that. So yeah, you know, right now, so the Twins are up 3-0 in Houston. Not for sure. Houston was just going to take care of business there, but we'll see how that goes. Tomorrow, you've got Atlanta and Philly game two. Zach Wheeler going against Max Fried. If you're the Dodgers, you probably don't feel very good about tomorrow because you've got Bobby Miller. Zach Gallen is taking the ball on the other side in a playoff game where they can basically get home field advantage.
Right. I was going to say, here's the thing is that when you run Clayton Kershaw out there, you expect to come in 1-0 with your second guy coming up. You don't expect to be down 0-1 with a chance to be 0-2 and lose your home field advantage going away. So, I hate that term must win, but like the Dodgers are in a pretty bad spot. Usually, I mean, you go down 0-2 and you go on the road, you usually split, and that's not good. I mean, so I think the Dodgers are kind of in a spot where they have to win this game, but it's an uphill battle for sure.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm excited to see how this is gonna be. I like this Phillies team. Think that they're fun to watch, and I know a lot of people don't like Bryce Harper. I really enjoy Bryce Harper. Like, I get that people think he's cocky and he's arrogant, and but the dude just hits taters.
Yeah.
So, and obviously Nick Castellanos is like the greatest 2-year Red in history, according to some people. How dare? Yeah. So, I say that. Sure, would have liked to have him. I don't know. Maybe now with all these younger guys, maybe I wouldn't have liked to have had him up as much as I would have last year. Yeah. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what's coming up here. So we have all off season, obviously, to talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. We've got about 6 weeks till winter meetings, if I've timed it out correctly. So, yeah, Brandon, right here. This is my exact point. Baseball needs Bryce Harpers. Yes.
I guess I am not a base. I'm a baseball purist to an extent. But dude, I am a guy that loves guys that play with swagger. Like,
yep.
And that's Bryce Harper. That's Ellie De La Cruz. That's Bryce Harper. That's all these young players. That's Ronald Acuna.
Jazz.
All these young, yeah, dude. All these dudes that play with this, like, just funk. Like they just love the game and they enjoy playing the game and they got swagger. Like, you can't tell me you don't think Bryce Harper is a good baseball player, and he knows he's a good baseball player, so he should play like that. So I'm a huge fan of that. Like, why are we bat flip? Like, shut up, dude. Like, this is 2023. Kids are enjoying playing the game. They're playing baseball. They're having fun, and they're freaking good. Ronald Acuna is a really good baseball player. He's going to be probably the MVP. Like, these guys are good, and on top of that, they're bringing fun to baseball. Most people that don't watch baseball day to day don't find it interesting. But I bet you that you could take the average person and say, look, who is Bryce Harper? And they could tell you who he is because of the things he's able to do and accomplish.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Yeah, so. I totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah, big Bryce Harper guy, big Ronald Acuna guy, big Julio Rodriguez guy, as I've talked about in the past on the show. Ton of those things. So this came up this week because we are kind of getting to the point where we're talking about arbitration salaries. And this is what MLB trade rumors have projected for the 10 guys on the Reds major league roster who are arbitration eligible. So to kind of go through the list, Lucas Sims at $2.8 million, Nixon's at $3 million, Derek Law at $1.4 million, Justin Dunn at $900K, TJ Antone at $900K, Alex Young at $1.7 million, Jake Fraley at $2.2 million, Tyler Stevenson at $2.9 million, Jonathan India at $3.7 million, and Vladimir Gutierrez at $1 million. So I don't know if this is going to be controversial or hot takey from me, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think $3 million for Nixon Zell could potentially be a bargain.
I think so.
Multi-positional, rakes left-handed pitching. I know there's not a ton of lefties in baseball, and I know a lot. That's why a lot of people are going to say no to me. But we saw a year this first time where he was generally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I mean, he had a couple IL stints. And he had his best power year of his career.
I like it. I think that falls in the wheelhouse for sure. You know, it's I know, like you said, I know there's not a ton of left-handed pitching, but to find a guy that hits it that well is good to have in your back pocket, especially at $3 million.
And a guy you can literally be like, all right, I need you to play third base today. I need you to play here today. So I don't know. I mean, I would love to see him back, but you know, some of these are no-brainers to me. But $2.8 million.
I was gonna say, who's your no-brainers on here? Like if you're the guy, like who's your no-brainers? Like this is a definite 1,000% no doubt.
Fraley for sure.
Yep.
Just because what he provides to the team as a pop for his pop. I'm very very open to Senzel returning if he doesn't. I don't know if that's the case. He probably does have somewhat of trade value. I wouldn't say he's like going to bring you a fifth starter by any stretch. Not that the Reds need that.
Here's the thing about this though, is that what is his trade value worth trading him for what we would get in return? as far as a player as Nick Senzel. You know what I mean? Like you said, he's a utility guy. He's a back guy. Like, we could trade him away and get something, but would we get back in return what we think that we what we think Nick Senzel can be?
So, if you had asked me this question last year, I probably would have said no. Mm-hmm. I probably would have said yes. If you had asked me this question 2 years ago, I probably would have said no. But knowing what we know now, who's up on the big league roster, mm-hmm. who's coming up on the big league roster, I think it makes sense. You know, is he probably going to get you like a, I don't know, you know, I don't think he's going to get you like a high-end reliever.
I was going to say, but you know where this conversation goes. We could trade him and get a fifth starter, or we could trade him. Like I don't think he's that kind of value.
Right. Absolutely not. Could he get you? I don't know if he can get you, like, he might get you a middle tier reliever. Mm-hmm. You know, and that could be beneficial to this team. Like we said, like mm-hmm. with guys like Derek Law out there. So Indy and Stevenson are obviously interesting. I think Stevenson's definitely back on the team next year. Something that someone mentioned to me this week, because we talked about when I was on Locked On with Steven, the whole episode was about the Reds and the catcher position. So Stevenson had a really, you know, really disappointing year by his standards.
Mm-hmm.
Still a top 10 hitter at the catcher position in baseball this year.
Yeah.
So
I think our expectations are so high for him.
Yeah,
that we forget now, and we know he's a liability.
It says more about the catcher position's offense, for
correct.
Sure.
Correct. That's exactly what I think where he is. I think we're thinking of high end catcher ability. I think he sits right there, but I think that our expectations for him are so high that we're like, we don't realize that. Yeah, he's probably top 15 catcher in the league. I mean, I mean, I don't know if it's defensively, but I mean, hitting the baseball, I mean, he had a down year this year, but I think that he's a guy that another team would love to have as their catcher. I mean, I don't think he's a guy that we would be like, nah, he's just trash. Complete trash, but
yeah, I agree. My Alexa timer is like going off right now, and I cannot get it to turn off.
Alexa,
yeah.
Hey, it's off the rail. It's the off season, baby.
Yeah. Oh no. So Stevenson, yeah, India. You know, I don't know what his situation would be. I don't suspect he'll be a Red next year. Especially because that 3.7 compared to what they're going to pay Matt McClain and guys like that next season. Not that 3.7 is going to break the bank, but with where they're sitting. I'll tell you what, man. I would take the chance of bringing TJ Antone back. I know, obviously, everything has been going on with his elbow and things like that. The hell he's gone through. But the perseverance he's gone through and how good he has looked when he has been on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth a shot. I think it's worth a shot at 900K.
Yeah, I was going to say, for under a mil, I think so. That's not big-time money to give a guy a chance on a big league roster who's shown that he can pitch at that level if he's healthy.
Yeah, I'm super high on him still, and I think that mm-hmm. you've seen that. So there was that game against the Mariners when he was the opener because it was going to be a bullpen day, and he just took the ball and went two innings, and he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a guy that you can really count on. Alex Young, I don't know if I'm necessarily in love with bringing him back. He was really good for stretches and then felt like, wait, you know, once he hit a wall, it feels like once Sam Maul came in, it was like, he can get all the lefties out. I'm good.
Right. I'm good.
But, if they bring him back, if it's something where he's back on the team, I'm not going to be mad. You know, I'm not going to be like pissed off. Lucas Sims is interesting because same scenario, right? A guy who can be good,
mm-hmm.
a guy who hasn't been good for a lot of stretches this year. There's a lot of, when you look at those like last 15 games when it was, you were shaking your head. But has shown in the past he can be very reliable. Has shown in the past he's a guy who can give the ball to the sixth through ninth inning. It's kind of really interesting for him. 2.8 million, you know, obviously former first round pick. I got him in a trade with the Braves. Pretty close. This is going to be his last arbitration year before he can actually be an unrestricted free agent. So kind of curious to see what the market would look like for him. You know, I'm kind of in the thought process that, you know, would I say like a bullpen renovation for next season? It's a lot of like just these overachieved guys, the Derek Laws, you know, the Alex Youngs, the Ian Jabot's, the guys like that. Ian Jabot actually was a 1.8 WAR this year.
Really?
I know. I was like, oh, that was surprising because this, the numbers on the field did not look that way.
Yeah, I was going to say it did not look like that on the field.
Yeah.
When we ran it out there.
Yeah, I felt like every time Ian Jabot came in and there was a runner on second base, you might as well just like drop the ball and let him score.
Just balk him in.
Yeah. I saw Kimbrel did that in a game.
Yeah.
But I guess it's where your confidence in Lucas Sims. I know Nick Kroll obviously really likes him. I just don't know if I feel I didn't feel safe when Lucas Sims came in games this year.
Mm-mm. No, I would agree with that. I didn't think that he wasn't a guy that I would call reliable. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, you could give him the ball, and if his stuff was on, then you felt really good. But more times than not, his stuff was mediocre to off. So, I mean, he struggled to get outs at times, especially when we needed him to get outs. I didn't feel like when we brought him into the game where it was like, man, yeah, he's a good setup guy or he's a good middle guy, because his stuff just wasn't consistent enough to be able to get outs consistently. So, I mean, if it's me, I probably let Sims walk because I think you can find somebody for less money that can do a little bit better job. Because I just don't think that he's worth that 2.8. Because that's just me personally, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it real quick while we're talking. This is the last time he pitched, so I can pull up his, like, okay, here it is. So, Lucas Sims ended the season on this. Actually, last 30 games, his last 30 appearances, he was really good. 4-2, 3.24. Two saves, 25 innings. 26 strikeouts, 19 walks. That was good Lucas Sims.
Right.
There was a lot of bad Lucas Sims. I appreciate the fact that he could go longer than an inning. But yeah, like everyone's kind of saying in the chat today. And so that's kind of thing there. Joseph Gaditza, our good friend from north of the border, says Buck Farmer makes me nervous. I agree. I am very content.
makes everybody nervous.
I'm very content if Buck Farmer is not on the Reds next year. Yeah. I say that, and of course it'll be like, what was it, CNL Perez? He was just like terrible that year for the Reds. He goes to Baltimore, and he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm sure it's going to be something like that. Anything else here that jumps out? I know we joked about Justin Dunn a bit last week, but I'm sure that he'll get a shot to be healthy.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think he does have a lot of talent. It's just kind of hard to fit him in with everything they have.
Right. No, nothing else really jumps out. I mean, I think the biggest one on there is India, but I think we know where that's going. So.
Yeah. Do you think it's a situation where his dad won't have to tape his games anymore because he'll be able to play? He'll be playing for the Mets.
Yeah, I think he'll be a Met. And I think that'll be a good get for the Mets. Honestly, I mean, I think he's a guy he can plug into that lineup and he can hit lead off for second, and it's got a little pop and you know, I think he'll do good there.
This comment
and
from
his
Brandon.
Dad won't have the tape tapes.
There you go. This comment from Brandon's amazing. It says CNL's name was perfect for his performance on the Reds. CNL.
That's yeah. Yes. Magic. Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, let me clear this other thing up real quick before we did get a question from Joey Gaditza that I want to get into. I just want to clear up one quick thing, and can't believe I have to do this, but I literally got this text message 5 times this week, Ben, and I literally am shocked that we have to have this conversation in October of 2023. Trevor Bauer will not pitch for the Reds ever again. Okay? No. Like, I know whatever the allegations, I know he had his whole video why he was cleared and all this stuff and whatever. No one liked him. Very few people enjoyed having him in the clubhouse from what I understand.
Yeah, so, that's my understanding is that he was not a very liked human being. If you've ever like listened to interviews with that guy, like he's kind of a
Yeah,
he's a strange dude, man. He's a strange dude. Nothing wrong with being strange, but just, you know.
I don't know, his kind of strange or something wrong.
Right. Yeah. In a game that's so, where a team sport where chemistry is so important, like it's just, you have to watch who you bring into your clubhouse. And yeah, he's one of those dudes that you don't want to bring him in and mess up, you know. I don't know him personally, but it just seems like the Reds have really good chemistry with the guys they have. And they, you know, he seems like kind of a strange cat.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like the risk the Reds PR would be willing to take either.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you're answering all kinds of questions and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it becomes a sideshow.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, with what this team's building and all the conversations we have we've had about all these young guys, I just don't think it's something where.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, don't need it. Yep. Don't need it.
All right. So let me go ahead and pull this up real quick from our good friends at Patreon, which you also can be a member of at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy if you want to come hang out with us on a day-to-day basis. We have a lot of fun channels, including the Hoops channel, where I had to watch the Boston Celtics look unstoppable today. Did not like it. Did not like it. All right. So this question
that's
comes
like
from
your,
Joey.
That's like your worst nightmare. Like the Celtics.
Worst nightmare.
Yeah.
If there was like a year the Celtics, the Steelers, and the Pirates won all their championships, I think I would just like move to Mars.
Give up sports.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, look, Louisville beat the dong hell out of Notre Dame last night. I'm not even mad about it. Kudos. They played great. They were awesome. No taking away from them. But like those three teams, nah.
Not having it.
No. So Joey asks, whatever it be, free agency or trade, how many significant moves will the Reds make? What say you? I say three that'll actually be legit moves.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to compare it to, so again, none of these worked out. I was well aware as I say this here, but do you remember the momentum coming out of the 2019 season going into 2020 when it was like, they picked up Mike Moustakas and it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's like, you know, he was pretty good for the Brewers. He's got a World Series. Like that could be decent. They brought in, I almost said Shinsuke Nakamura. That's terrible of me. Oh my God. That is awful of me. That is not what I meant to say. My God.
If you didn't drop the Shinsuke Nakamura, oh my God.
What the hell was his name? He was number four.
Shinsu Chu?
No, not you. Not you. This is not a good look for us right now, by the way.
Hold on.
Someone in the chat, who was the guy that the Japanese free agent outfielder they brought in? Shogo Akiyama.
Shogo Akiyama. Yeah, there you go.
Shogo Akiyama came in. Everyone was really excited about that. Obviously, it did not work out. But Nick Castellanos worked out. It just wasn't, he wasn't here long enough. And so it kind of feels like when that team was kind of teetering at 2019, you know, there was the Homer Bailey trade that they got all those guys who ended up like, by the way, Matt Kemp playing as a red for like, you know, 6 hours is going to be like a trivia question for years to come. So that was a thing that happened, but I feel like we can kind of compare it to, that kind of run there. And that's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not trying to be awful.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But I think that that's kind of what you're looking at. Michael Sparks says Shinsuke would have hit the ball harder than Shogo.
God. Dude, I love our listeners. That's awesome.
I do too.
You guys are awesome.
God love you. Oh, yeah, that's a great point. The walk-up music alone would be awesome. The violin? Oh, man.
That
would rule. That would rule. I think so. That was kind of like three or four. I think you can kind of see that this year. I don't really know. Like, I'm not the guy who can break down the strength of a free agent class compared to years past or anything like that and give you, like, very much intelligence. I will say I do think the Reds should be on Mitch Garver, who's come up quite a bit. I do think the Reds should be in on Sonny Gray. I think that they should do whatever they can to make sure Sonny Gray is back on the big league team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, we should look at situations like Aroldis Chapman, who has come up quite a bit. I think he'd be really good. You know, relievers. you know, one of the big conversations we had is about there's not a huge market for catchers. So a Luke Maley, Tyler Stevenson combo coming back next year could be something that could be really, really helpful because yeah. there's not going to be, I mean, the catcher market's awful.
Well, yeah, the catcher's market is awful. And I can't, I mean, there's not any just like where you're like, man, I got to have that guy
right
out there. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And I also saw the Cardinals are going to bid for Sonny Gray. Last I checked, Sonny Gray's done pitching for last place teams. So, right. yeah.
He's trying to be on a contender.
Right. That's so funny to say about the Cardinals. Sydney brings up Aaron Nola. If that's a possibility, ooh-wee. Then. Yeah. Do I think that's going to happen? Absolutely not.
Yeah. But
Aaron Nola would be pretty tremendous to have. Just can't see that being a possibility. I think Philly is not going to, especially if they win a World Series.
If they win a World Series, yeah, you can forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not happening. Brandon says, I remember more about Shogo's wife than Shogo. Obviously, we do too, because we could not put his name together, and that's terrible. Three or four. Big moves. I don't know what the trade market necessarily looks like for the Reds because I don't think they're in love with moving prospects they don't have to move.
Right.
At this point, you know, we talked about Duno and Arroyo last week. I don't think the Reds want to move them unless it's like, now I'm not saying don't by any stretch of the matter. If there's a situation where you can make your big league club good that moment right away and that's like what we got to do. Okay. But it's got to be the right deal for me to kind of be comfortable with that. You know, I don't want to do, you know, let's say some random pitcher off the top of my head that I can't think of. I don't want to do like Nestor Cortez for Noelvi Marte. All right. Like, no. Right. But I do want to kind of see them be active. You know, I don't know if they have the situation anymore where they could do like they did with the Latos trade, where they just like gave up a ton to bring him in, and also not a fun person. But there's 2 years from Matt Latos. You can look at those numbers. That dude could, you can count on that dude to get you 7 innings. But was also, as many reports have come out, not a fun locker room guy.
Right. So
don't bring in bad locker room guys, and that's all I can tell. But yeah, I'm okay. I say 3 or 4 moves. There's going to be a trade in there.
I agree.
I don't think they'll look significantly different in the field. I do want to get some right-handed platoon batters to go at the outfield of like of the Fraley's and the Benson's would be nice to play in the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned Randall Grichuk, who I don't think will be super expensive. I know he's a former Cardinal. Been playing for the Rockies the past couple of years. I think would be a really good right-handed bat for the Reds. He's going to be a free agent. I don't know if the Rockies are going to like, they're so weird because they're so bad, right? Like they've never been good. They had that 1 year they went to the World Series, but they always have good prospects. They always have like, they have the Zach Veens and they have the, you know, those guys. And it's like, I don't know. Could the Reds get Zach Veen? Because in that case, like I'll trade Jonathan Indy for Zach Veen tomorrow. Let's just fucking make it more confusing. Who's going to play in the field. Yeah. But granted, Zach Veen's hurt right now. So,
yeah,
I think it's going to be an interesting offseason. But as long as Trevor Bauer's on the team, you know, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Lucas Gilbert's the name's brought up by Sydney. Brendan Rodgers would be a good one. The thing is, let me ask you this, because obviously we are not general managers. We do not work in front offices. We are just nerds who turn on microphones and talk about our favorite baseball team.
Pretty much.
You got to think that the Reds probably are a sexy market for a free agent, right? It's like, I can go play with these young dudes. Like I can, right? Like I can go play with those guys. Like,
yeah,
interesting.
I would assume that it's one of the places that if you're a 6 to 10 year vet that's looking for a team, and you see all these young prospects, these young studs, I would think that that's a place that where you want to go play baseball. And it's going to give you, I mean, withstanding the Brewers who blew, you know, they blew their wad. But outside of that, the NL Central usually is, I mean, it's pretty contested, but usually the teams aren't like, they're not usually 104, 105 win teams. It's usually 92 to 96 wins will get you in the playoffs. So if you just play good, consistent baseball with this young team and you bring in a couple of veterans, I would assume that that's going to be a great market. It's not like you're going to, you know, go to like the NL or the AL East where you're going Yankees, Red Sox, you know, Orioles, like where you got to go in. I mean, where you're, you know, where your chances of making the playoffs are going to be difficult. You know, I think when you're here in that Central, I think that, I mean, there are some good teams, but I think it's a winnable market to play in.
Yeah. This is a name that came up a couple of times because I guess the Yankees were discussing moving on from him. And I know the answer to this, but I'm going to say it's just so we can get a good laugh anyway. If you're the Reds, would you want Giancarlo Stanton?
No.
Did you see that quote from Sean Casey where he was like, there are some things we can fix on his swing? No. And it was like, basically, his swing.
Yeah. It's like watching Paul Bunyan swing his axe. Like, you can't know. There's no. Mm-mm. Nope. Yeah. Nope. Pass.
I'm with you. Chris, we're actually going to talk about that here in a second. But Brandon says, I'm concerned the Cardinals will be aggressive to build around Goldie and Arenado in the short term after this disappointing season. And that's a true concern. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, it's a front office that wants to win. It's a front office that just last year, you know, made a big move with Wilson Contreras. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the season didn't work out for them. But yeah, you're right. You know, that's like a thing that we kind of looked at why we thought the Reds should make a move at the trade deadline. Because how many more circumstances are you going to get where the Cardinals are this down this much?
Yep.
Could they potentially be down this bad again next year? Yes, absolutely. That talent pool is not great. No. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, their team is going to probably try to get Sonny Gray. That would break my heart. Totally break my heart. Like when Mike Leake pitched for the Cardinals and I understood why he did it. That sucked. That really bummed me out. But I understood why he did it. You know, the circumstances, what was going on with his family. And then the Cardinals were like, we're trading you to Seattle anyway, kid. Ha 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 ha. And it's like dicks. But, you know, that's something where I think that's, you know, the Cardinals are definitely going to be a team that are going to try to go out and improve their stuff. They also have some young guys that they really trust, you know, Tommy Edman, Lars Nootbaar. I'm forgetting. I'm sure I'm off the top of my head. I know I am. What the heck's the other? Tyler O'Neill. He's really good. He's really, really good. I'm curious to see how they feel about their franchise.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point. Like, they're not a franchise that's used to being at the bottom. So,
thank you, Steven. Says but Cardinals equal dick. Good analysis.
Yeah. But I think you bring up a great point. Like, they're a franchise that's not used to being at the bottom of where they are. So, I think for them and that organization and that fan base, I think that's. They're going to go out and try to make some splashes too. So, I mean, I you know, they've always been, and for better or for worse, you know, they've always been a really good top-notch franchise.
Right.
So, I can imagine them saying 2 years of this in a row. Now, could it happen? Yeah, of course it could. But I couldn't see them not trying to make some moves and put some people around Arenado and Goldie and really trying to make amends for the season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how their other teams in the division kind of go into this offseason, right? So Milwaukee's kind of been rumored to tear it down forever. And so, you know, after the season they just had, are they going to try to build off this? Or are they going to try to be like, try to reset and say, like, what we have is just not good enough to win a World Series? I think they were good enough to win the World Series, pitching-wise.
I think their bats. Their bats. Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, their bats is what let them down. They're pitching. I think they're set.
Yeah. I make fun of the Pirates all the time, rightfully so. But they're a team that's done a really good job in drafting young talent and like developing them. Henry Davis in the outfield kind of weird to me, but the dude can rake. And I think he's going to be a really good major league hitter for in the future. They have Paul Skeens now, who might be on the Pirates next year. He is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's tough.
And then, you know, the Cubs is the other one. I don't think the Cubs really wanted to win this year, to be honest.
They just happenstanced. I mean, I don't think they really wanted that.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, I don't think they wanted to win.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we're saying this about a team that signed Dansby Swanson to a long contract and, you know, brought in Yan Gomes and did all these things, but
I think it was for not this year, but like the following year.
Yes. To build around. Yeah, right. I agree. And I genuinely think that they're a couple pieces away from having a pretty good team, and that pains me to say. But you know, obviously, Jameson Taillon was awful for them this year, just so bad after the deal they signed him to. You know, you just hate to see it, right? It's just so painful.
It was awful.
Yeah, they were linked to bringing Chapman back from their World Series run.
Yeah, let's hope we get him first.
Yeah, I'm really, really curious about that. But I'm excited to see how it all pays out. I think the Reds are going to, you know, if they're not aggressive, then they are going to piss off a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's what happens there. Joseph Cadiza says, let's just trade for Sal Perez. I mean, on paper, no. But would he be an awesome guy to have on this team? Yeah, he would. Last thing before we get out of here, our good pal Joseph Votto made an appearance on Dan Patrick this week and said that he plans to play one more year and he would like for it to be with the Reds, but is open to other places. We're not going to get into why they should or shouldn't, because we've already done that for 2 months, and I think we've already ran into the ground. We will report on it when we get news, is what we're going to say. But I do want to make mention with the question of if this is the end that we talked about quite a bit. He does not feel it's the end. And the conversation he's having is he feels like if he's healthy, he can contribute. And we have no purpose to say he's wrong. You know, obviously he's going to be 41 next year, but we'll see. I just want to make sure we did mention and not overlook it. But no, we're not going to do a big analysis because we've done that already 14 times since July.
Correct.
So we want you guys to come back and not repeat content.
Right. No. Yeah, I think you're 1,000% correct on that. You know, it was interesting when he went on Dan Patrick that, you know, of course, that conversation, but it'll all play itself out. I think when news breaks, we'll be here first to tell you. And I think you leave it at that.
Yeah, this
we
is
we all the, know like, how much everybody loves Joey Votto. So
this is the new, like, a couple years ago. Should Tyler Stevenson catch? And we were like, oh my god, I can't have this conversation one more time. I can't have it. I can't. Brandon does ask, does Nibbles want to stay in Cincy? The answer is of course.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's not even a question.
Yeah. Nibbles is family.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so that's got to be how it goes. Sydney says I'll be the first to tell you all. All right, let's. Should we do the Sydney tally? How many times does Sydney break news to us this year on the pod? So Matt McClain was the big one.
That was a big one.
CES.
Yep.
I think there was another one. It wasn't Ellie, obviously, because that was like on a Tuesday out of the blue.
Yeah. Who's the other one?
Michael Sparks does say, but the schools need more bus drivers. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
I work in a school. That's 1,000% true.
Yeah, that's 1,000% true. Man. Well, let's talk real quick about everything going on at the riverfront before we get out of here. Obviously, if you caught Joe and Sydney earlier today, they did the post-game show for the Bengals' victory over the Arizona Cardinals. I believe Greg is slotted to be returning to the Bengals show this week. Obviously, on Friday, check out Chad and Nate as they talk about everything else that we don't talk about here. We try to, you know, leave them with some content.
Yeah, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, not much.
We give them a little bit. Yeah, we give them a little bit.
Right. And then this week we finally will have the first episode for Riverfront U.
Man, super exciting stuff. Super exciting.
So Ryan Roberts and I are going to get together and kind of talk about just the access we have to the programs we cover, what to kind of expect from the shows, because we're going to have multiple shows, At Large with Bearcats, Musketeer Week. I think I'm shooting it for Musketeer Monday is the game plan. We'll see how everything works out. And then just kind of all the other stuff we have coming up. So we are looking for writers. I think with all the applications we're putting in, we've got plenty of photographers. Thank you all for all your interest on that. That was really cool. Writers, get with us, because we would love, love, love to bring new writers on to cover as many sports as we possibly can, so we can make these universities love the Riverfront as much as you all do.
Yeah.
But also, if you're checking this out, please make sure you hammer that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. If you are checking this out on your podcast app of choice, make sure you give us a nice solid 5-star review that you hear at every podcast. On behalf of Ben Brown, this is Tim Daniel. Thank you guys for hanging out every Sunday. We'll be back next week. Got a pretty cool guest coming to hang out with us. I'll give a hint real quick on who our guest is going to be next week. He's not me.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.